All right, the Dixie Dregs. We are live from Lee Furs. Whew. Intense. Okay, this afternoon we had a... What we're going to do right now is take about a 10-minute break so everybody can sort of get up and stretch their legs or whatever you want to stretch. And you people at home can do whatever you want to do. And we're going to run an interview that we ran this afternoon with the Dixie Dregs. Run it. Earlier this afternoon, we talked with Steve Marsh, the guitar player, and Andy West, the bass player of the Dregs. And first off, I'd like to welcome you to Tucson, and thanks for coming by and playing for us this evening.
Thank you.
It's great to be here.
And Steve, you're the principal composer of the Dregs. And could you reiterate on how that whole phase started out back at the University of Miami?
Okay, we are, Andy and I, that's the two of us that are here, have been playing together all the way back from early weekend rock and roll, you know, underground music bands, and, you know, slowly infiltrating that with, you know, original stuff that we wrote. And anyway, I was down at the University of Miami studying music, you know, after the weekend rock and roll band phase. And we were, I got together a rock ensemble with students from the school and got Andy to come down to the school and, you know, enroll in some music courses.
This was pretty much a new thing to the university people at that
right.
particular time.
Well, it was a jazz department. That was a thing.
Right. And you got into school by a classical guitar audition, right? And you didn't have a high school diploma, and they were so impressed with you that they let you in anyway, right?
Well, I was a problem case, that's for sure, because I went to school as a classical guitar principal with a jazz music degree playing in the rock ensemble.
Right.
So anyway, the rock ensemble was the band that we got together, five-piece band. And in fact, four out of five of us are still exactly the same members. So we transplanted. We went through that for, I think, 3.5 semesters with everybody. And when the last person graduated, we took it on the road, and this is our third year of being a professional
and
you, musician.
This is your second album with Capricorn.
Yeah.
How do you compare the music with the second album as you did with the first album?
I'll let Andy answer that.
Because it is a little different, you know?
Yeah, well, I think that it just seems like the second album leans a little bit more towards a heavily produced, orchestrated sound, which is really what we went after from the beginning. The first album we do a lot of music still from the first album. I mean, we aren't going to outgrow that music for a long time. It's,
right.
it's great music. We're really proud of what we've done on it. But it just has a little bit lighter feel to it, you know? And the new album is more heavily rock-influenced, and I think it just stretches out into a wider variety of directions. Really, you have a song like Take It Off the Top, which is, you know, you really are kind of basic rock and roll song, even though it might not be for some other bands, but for us it's a real heavy rock thing. And then a song like Night Meets Light, which really spaces out into some new directions, I think, uncovered, you know, by our band. And that's the main difference, really.
Was that the reason of the producer that the album came out like this, the new producer that you had for this album?
Sounds were not necessarily the music. The music is a constantly evolving thing. You know, whatever Steve comes up with and whatever the band helps put together is always changing. But the sound of the album was, you know, due to Ken Scott a great deal. I mean, we said, hey, we want to sound heavy. We want the drums to sound like cannons, you know,
right.
or something. And he made it happen, so...
For a band to come out of the South that has behind a lot of other bands, you know, this is the first time that a band has come out with this type of music that hasn't had a vocal, okay? Now, what are your feelings on adding a vocal? A lot of people have asked us, they've called us at the radio station and want to know, why doesn't this band have a vocal?
The idea was to play music, play as much music as possible. And when you look back in, you know, from the very beginning of time, music has never had to be... a song with repetitive chords in the background. There are such things, you know, in history, like, you know, from operettas and chamber music all the way up to pop songs. But there's also another side of music which is heavily arranged and thought out, just music, you know.
Right.
The music itself tells a whole story without limiting it to words. You know what I mean? You have so many more options with instrumental music. You can do more, the players can do more, and the listener can, I think, can imagine a lot more. And and get more from it, because you're not saying, well, this word and this word, and painting a story so literally.
It's a real cerebral kind of effect our music has on people, I think. You know, it's just, it's in the head and the body as well, but it's just, you're not conscious of any, like you said, stories or anything like that. But another interesting point about it is that when we first started out, we just played. You know, it was an evolutionary thing. It just happened. It was just what grew out of us. And only after we started getting more and more jobs and playing more and more places did we start to get questions like, well, why don't you guys have a vocalist? I mean, to us, it had never occurred, you know.
Yeah,
it just
right.
wasn't even part of the from the beginning. It just wasn't there. It was just, you know, it was just our thing to play the music. And so, you know.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, I'm just explaining.
Yeah,
you know?
Sure. Yeah, it's great that you can have a band like this. You know, they can be that solid with the sound of instrumental music, you know, and get the response that you get from people, as you, the response you've seen that you've gotten from people that you've played in front of.
Yeah.
You know, I've heard people tell me that C-Level, they don't like for you to open for them because you play so good. You know, you play so good in front of them that blows everybody away.
So we just play good when we play. We try and play as good as we possibly can. We try and get over on the audience, no matter what audience it is. You know,
right. Yeah, giving their money's worth.
Are you playing a lot of large halls now, or since you just started here, or a lot of the smaller clubs?
At this stage, it's the most unbelievable mixture you can imagine. We have a lot of strong markets, and in those markets, you know, where we're selling tickets on shows, stuff, you know, we go on, like, with Marshall Tucker or Hart, or what was the other thing?
Helen Santana.
Lee. Santana. And, you know, do rock and roll shows. But at the same time, we'll go into another, you know, what we call secondary or smaller market and do clubs, listening clubs, you know, where people come to be entertained, and it's, you know, their cover maybe is more than a regular
right.
disco or something.
And you're fixing to do that now with the Roxy engagement, right?
That's a pretty big deal, though, still. You know, the Roxy
does that feel like a big step for you?
Yeah. Playing with Cobham, Billy Cobham. That's the main thing.
And you'll be doing three nights
doing
in front of a lot of people. You
yeah,
know,
right.
A lot of people,
you know,
that
L.A. is a big place. It's a major market, like Steve was saying. You know, it's an important place because it's such a cosmopolitan city, and it's so large that you can play a place like the Roxy in 3 days, reach several hundred or maybe even 1,000 people, but that 1,000 people means so much more than 1,000 people in a small town, because there's only a few people that 1,000 people can tell in a small town. In L.A., there's millions, you know, and it just spreads out. It's a real... Some kind of effect, you know. It's hard to say. The big cities really have a big effect, you know.
Right. Well, we here in Tucson certainly enjoy your music, and we're glad you could come all the way from Atlanta. You guys live out of Atlanta now.
Yeah, right. I just want to make a statement about Tucson, you know,
sure.
Because it's sort of weird. We're talking about all these other cities. This is a place we've never been, and it's... We're thankful for the opportunity just to reach people over the radio like this. You know, we'd like to do a live show where a lot of people could come in, but at the point we're at now, we really can't do that, you know, because
right.
people don't really know about us, except with the help of you guys, you know, playing the record and all that, and we appreciate that.
Yeah, yay.
But,
no problem.
You know, it's great, man. Like, you play, people are people everywhere. You know, one person who gets off on the band means as much as one person anywhere else, you know.
Well, that one person getting off on the band is going to eventually lead to another person or 10 other
right,
people
right.
getting off on that same band.
And plus, our music has a real sense of communication about it. I think that when we play something that affects people, they are really affected by it. They aren't not, you know, they're just not like, you know.
Well, that's the idea. You nobody's going to get up and tell a friend about something that's just like everything else. So you got to... You know, try to open a few jaws when you play.
Very well said. We're speaking with Steve Morris and Andy West of the Dixie Dregs, and we'll be back live very shortly.
Tonight's broadcast is coming to you live from Leifer's Recording Studios in Tucson. FM 92 hopes you enjoy the excitement.
And once again, we're back live at Leifer's. Thank you. We'd like to really thank the Dregs for coming in and playing for us this evening. It's not often we have such talent to come in and play for us. And we would like to thank all you nice folks for coming in and helping out the Dregs. So once again, would you welcome Capricorn recording artists, the Dixie Dregs.